And with your Bible open, let's pray for the blessing of the Lord upon His Word today. Our loving Heavenly Father, we bow today again before Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou art the God that has said, I am the Lord, I change not. And while we change and our circumstances change and our feelings often change, we thank Thee, O God, we come to the unchanging, immutable God. And today, our Father, we rejoice that we have one who is a rock in a weary land. And Father, we pray today that Thou would bless each one of us, take our eyes away from the things of time and sense, and focus our attention upon the Word of the living God, and especially the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that Thou would feed our souls. Oh God, how much we need to be fed by the Word of the living God. And today we pray that Thou would by Thy Spirit speak to every soul. And Lord, encourage us and grant, O God, that as we feed upon the living bread, that we shall be strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. And be with us, we pray. Remember, Lord, all those of need in the congregation. We think, Lord, of the sick and the suffering. We commend them to Thee, and we pray that they might know Thy touch. And for those, Lord, who are aged and infirm, and no longer able to come to the house of God, O God, bless them where they are. And for those who are traveling, we pray, be with them. And Father, we ask of Thee that our whole church family might be owned and blessed of the Lord. Be with us now, we pray, and bless us as we turn to Thy Word and speak by Thy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Over this last two or three weeks, we have been considering the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Him appearing at the Sea of Galilee, and He posed a question to the disciples, Sirs, have ye any meat? Now, they didn't know who He was at that time, but He posed that question, have ye any meat? And they had been fishing, hadn't caught anything. He told them to let down the right-hand side, and they brought in a tremendous number of fish into the boat. And then, when they came to shore, they discovered the Lord there with a fire, and on that fire, He cooked some of the food for them, and He gave them an invitation, come and dine. So, have ye any meat? And again, come and dine. And then He continues the thought of food as we saw last Lord's Day when we considered how that He came and He spoke to Peter, who had denied Him three times, and He recommissioned Peter to go forward as the great apostle to the Jews. And in that, again, the idea of feeding came through because He said to Peter, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And I pointed out last week how the first and the third of those statements of the Lord has the word bosco, which is the ministry of feeding, the actual feeding that the shepherd will do for the flock. And then the middle word for feed my sheep is the word poimano, that has the meaning of tending like a shepherd. And we highlighted last Lord's Day that the importance of the preaching ministry is paramount in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing should take precedence over it. Sadly, in our day, we find that the preaching ministry is diminishing because on the one case you have musical and dramatic entertainments are beginning to take over the place of the ministry of the Word of the Lord. The old line modernist who denies much of the supernatural in the Bible, he in his buildings has put the pulpit on the side, indicating in an illustration that they have moved away from the central ministry of preaching the Word of God, and they've brought other things in to take the central position and the view in the minds of the people. The charismatic movement, on the other hand, has detracted from preaching by bringing the focus onto music and to drama so that the Word of God is not so central as it once was and it is intended to be in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now in this chapter of Acts we have a key verse And not only doctrinally, but practically, verse number 28. Because here we have the Apostle Paul on his way back by ship on the third missionary journey. He's going back to Jerusalem. And the ship stops at Miletus, as we saw in verse 17. And from there he's sent for the elders of the church of Ephesus, which is about 20 miles away from Miletus, to come and to meet with him. And so he met with them, he fellowshiped with them, he told them of some of the difficulties he had, and then he gives them a charge in verse 28, the oversight of the church. He says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." And this is a very important verse doctrinally, because it says there, "Feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Some of the modern translations have replaced the word theos, God, by kurios, which means master, and even Hort in his Greek text, who has led to much of the going away from the word of God. Hort said the reading God, that is theos in this verse, is assuredly genuine. But then he corrected it, as he saw, by what they call conjectural emendation, and he changed it to the word kurios, that means Lord or Master. So when you read it now, they feed the church of God, the church of the Master, or the church of the Lord, which he has purchased his own blood, that's an entirely different meaning. But when you have it as it properly is, the church of God, the church of Theos, which he has purchased with his own blood, you have a key text with regard to the blood ministry of the Lord Jesus, because we are saved not by what we do, but by the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And so this is a key verse and a key text in the word of the Lord. But I want this morning to focus on this statement and this command and this commission that the Lord gave to these people through Paul, where he says, "Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And so we want to focus on this idea of feeding. Have ye any meat? Come and dine. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And now he says, feed the flock, all the flock, over which the Lord hath made you overseer. Now the first thing I want to show you here is the responsibility of the oversight, or if you like, the ministers or pastors, because we have a specific job. Now there are many misconceptions about the pastorate. Some people have said you just stand up on Sunday and you preach, that's your work for the rest of the week. They have never been the pastorate. But sometimes we laugh at these misconceptions that people have about the ministry. But the minister of the Lord Jesus Christ is not primarily a social convener, although some are very good in the area of a social convention. We are not called specifically to be a social convener, but we're called to be ministers of the word of the living God. Because the pulpit ministry is central and it is vital to the church of God, and we are to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I mentioned last week that the church that fails to feed the flock and to preach Christ, that church has failed. Because you see, when you eat food, that gives you natural energy. And if the people are not being fed in the church service with the spiritual food of the Word of God, they will be lethargic and will not have the spiritual energy that they need. And so we have a responsibility given to us to be ministers of the Word. Now in feeding the flock, the first thing is that the food must be planned. I want to try and take aside the veil a little bit so you understand what we do. So even today, you may pray for your ministers and pray for the ministers of our churches as Sunday by Sunday they have to get up in the pulpit and preach the word of the living God. The homemaker in the family needs to be alive to the needs of that family, husband, wife, sons, daughters, and so on, need to be alive to the needs of the family, and therefore, that means they have to have a varied and a balanced diet, so that they will get the very best of nutrition, and that they will grow. When David and Joanne were quite young, and we had first come here, I had to make the lunch at lunchtime every day when Joanne and David would come home from school. And at that time we discovered that beans and toast are very easy to make. I put a couple of slices of bread in the toaster and you open a can of beans, heat it up and you do that and it's very nice. But we made the beans and toast so many times that today if anybody gave me baked beans, I'd have to just put them aside because I totally sickened myself and the children on baked beans and toast. So you get the message that you have to vary the ministry and you have to vary the food that the people have to have. And so in the ministry, we are to preach doctrine. One of our problems today is that so many churches do not focus on doctrine. And when you get, as I got to this week, a little pamphlet from another church that has an entirely different view of the doctrine and attacks the doctrine that we would stand for, I look at it and I read it and I say to myself, well, this is not a very good production because this man obviously has not studied his subject. And so he brings along a lot of nice little things that would maybe convince people who don't know the Bible. But now you look out to discover that what he has there is very, very short of the teaching of the Word of the Lord. And so we have to preach doctrine because, as Larry pointed out last week, that the doctrine, right doctrine, leads to right practice. And so we need to have the bone and the sinew of doctrine. But you'll discover also that in the Bible, when Paul, for example, is writing his epistles, he has the first part is doctrine and the second part is practice. Because in the Christian life, it's not just a matter of imbibing doctrine. It has to work out practically in your life. Because if it doesn't work out, there's something wrong. Because Christianity is eminently a practical religion. How that we're transformed by the grace of God and that it works out practically in our daily living. So we are to deal with the doctrine of the Word of God and the essential practice that will follow from the right doctrine of the Word of God. Then we're also called to bring comfort to those who are in need. I had my son David on yesterday and he phones me up sometimes just to ask me, Dad, have you ever spoken this particular subject? Have you got a thought on this particular thing? And so this particular one, I had to just rejoice at the pastor's heart because down in his church, he is a man there that just had to have a very, very serious back operation. A young man of 40, and the cost of the operation has virtually bankrupted them, and as well as that, been able to do useful work in the rest of his life is very, very difficult. So he's got a problem. And then there's another family who just had another serious problem. Another family has another problem. And so David was led by the Lord to the book of Judges where Gideon was called of God to go and to deliver the people. But in that, there's a verse there where it says there, I'm just speaking from memory, that Lord, if you're with us, why all these afflictions? If you're with us, Lord, why all these afflictions? I spend some time just chatting to David that sometimes the Lord allows us to go through affliction to stiffen us up and strengthen us. And so David today is ministering just for finishing off right now on comfort for those who have serious problems in their lives. So as ministers, we've got to preach doctrine, we have to preach practice, we have to bring comfort, and you know yourselves, many a time in the church, you have somebody dies, you have a family is heartbroken, somebody has some particular difficulty, we have to share with them the comfort of the Lord. And then to encourage as well. We've a ministry to encourage people because this world is not easy. We go out to fight the battle of faith against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's difficult, and we need to encourage God's people. That's why I so greatly appreciate the ministry of Dr. Paisley. Because down through the years, and I first went to his church in 1948, no matter how bad the situation, no matter how difficult the problem that he may be facing, he always brings a word of encouragement to the saints of God. And so we have these various aspects that we are to bring to the people. Not just to focus on one particular aspect and do that all the time, or another one all the time, but just as the mother in the home brings a different message or different meal every time she makes one. So likewise we have to be aware and plan to cover the needs of our people. You see, I have a dear friend who used to work with me in Boeing's, but he's now back in Ireland. And he came home from Boeing's in Seattle one day, and his wife had the supper ready for him, and she presents it to him. He takes a look at it and says, "Fish and chips again!" And he had been complaining about the food he was receiving for a number of days to his wife. "Fish and chips again!" She didn't say a word, just went over, lifted the plate from the table, went over, put her foot on the little bin that the door flops up, and pew, in it goes, down it comes, empty plate set on the table. And he never complained again about food from his wife, because she, without words, just simply taught him a lesson that needed to be taught. And so we are to not to complain, but rather to feed the people and do the best we can. So we've got a plan for the needs of the people. And then the food must be procured. The mother in the home sits down and writes out a shopping list. She already has thought what she's going to make for Sunday dinner and perhaps for other meals during the week. So she makes up a list and she goes out. And she goes to the area in the store where there's some vegetables and lettuce and so on, and tomatoes, and she gets those things so she can make a salad for the children if they need that. She goes and gets some milk because they need to have milk, and she gets meat and so on. And so she gets all the different things. And in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are not here to be man-pleasers, to please you with the excellency of our oratory, but rather we're here to feed you. And sometimes the young need the milk. And sometimes older ones, they need the meat. And I've discovered in the Free Presbyterian Church that they have a preference for curry. It doesn't matter what it's like, as long as it's delivered piping hot and boiling hot. And so we have to procure the food. But folks, this is the hardest part of the ministry. And I have to laugh at David because he is discovering this with a vengeance. They threw him in the deep end down there in New Hampshire. And he uses me continually for illustrations, so I'm not using him for illustrations. But he's thrown in the deep end there. And the hardest job is to get the Lord's message for any given day. You see, you can buy books of sermons. And there are some denominations in the modernistic fold today, and you can buy a book of sermons for the whole year, and you just, January, this one, February, this one, March, this one, and so they present them. And so, no thought to it. But my friend, the minister of the Word of God, is speaking to a congregation of real people who have real needs. And he very often is not aware of the needs that they have at any given time. He may sometimes be able to guess at the need, but most of all, he doesn't really know what the deep need is, but the Lord knows that need. And that minister on his knees has to get the right word from the Lord. You've got to get it. And once you get that, you have a real blessing from the Lord. It's an awesome responsibility because it's the Lord's church. It's His church. It's His people. and we must have His message for every given occasion. Not just to come and bring human vision, something that, well, I think that'd be good for the people. Let's do this today. That's a nice little homily there. We'll give them this and that'll keep them happy. We are to seek the Lord's will. I remember Bertie Cook, who taught us preaching, telling us how you'll discover in your ministry that you're seeking God's will. And the Lord will bring a verse to you and you'll look at it. But you can't say, Lord, what do I do with this? How do I develop this? And you get down on your knees and you pray. And you get up and you study some more and you read and you get back down and you pray again and you pace the floor of the study. My friend, we have to get the right food for any given occasion, which is God's Word for that particular day. Because there's always somebody there that day who needs that particular word from the Lord. The next thing is the food must be prepared. That the wife in the home, or the husband if he's into it, that the food must be cooked properly. Because if you don't do it and cook it properly, you could, for example, in chicken have salmonella or some sort of infection that would do your family no good. So you must prepare. And as far as the woman in the home is concerned, this is the most time-consuming of all. Getting it ready, getting it prepared, making sure it's right for the family. And likewise, in the ministry of the Word of God, we have this responsibility that we have to prepare. Somebody said to a friend of mine, oh, ministers, they just open their mouth and say the first thing that comes out. Yeah, that's right. The Bible says, open thy mouth and I will fill it. And you take that attitude and you discover the Lord will fill your mouth okay with air. And that's all. So we got to study. And we got to read. And there is an immense amount of reading. I have on my desk a number of books like that that I have to read. I have on my desk a number of videotapes that people have given me that I need to look at. And we have to read and we have to study and we have to compare scripture. And we have to strive for accuracy. Because Peter speaks about those who come to the scripture, some that are hard to be understood, and they wrest them to their own destruction and the destruction of the people. In that article that I got that I mentioned earlier, this pamphlet attacking the doctrines of those who believe in the Reformed faith is a master in that particular thing there because there is not the accuracy required in such a production. So we must be very accurate in what we bring because what we have is God's Word and we need to bring it with the authority of heaven behind it. And if we have something that's wrong, we're not going to have the authority of heaven. We're going to bring disaster upon our ministry. And then the food must be presented. The wife, as she plans, she procures, she prepares, and then she presents it. And that is the least amount of work. You put it on the table. You set it up there. And then they all eat it. And hopefully they get a solid, satisfying, and sustaining meal. You go to some places. I was a place recently there. And I was taken along by somebody else and treated to a nice dinner. The only thing was that you get a nice plate. And I got a potato. Now, I didn't recognize it as a potato. It looked like a candle because it was about an inch and a half diameter and it was round and it was about that length and there was something like a wick sticking out at the end of it. It looked like a candle. And then the amount of meat that was there was very nicely prepared but kind of skimpy. And then there were all kinds of garnishment. Now, do you eat that? Do you eat that piece of parsley? Do you eat that thing there? Are you supposed to eat that? Or is that there just to decorate the plate? And so you can go into a place and get a lovely decorated meal. And you go out and say, man, take me down to Swiss Chalet or somewhere. I can get a lot more fish and chips and all kinds of things down there to fill me up. So you need to realize that we have to bring to the people not intellectual or verbal garnishment, but the solid word of the Lord. You ever see that cotton candy they sell down the X And you see the child there, a little stick, on this great big thing here. That's as big as his head. But then you boil that down. You boil that down, and you find it comes about a teaspoonful of sugar. That's all about all you got there. And sometimes people's sermons, when you boil them down to the basic, not very much there, just cotton candy. We have to present the word of the Lord, present it in such a way that it can be easily digested. When you get a plate of dinner, you have potatoes here, meat here, vegetables here, whatever. You've got it all there. But I remember a dear old lady who came to us in the early days from Ireland. She visited us, and we took her up to one of these places where you have a smorgasbord, take as much as you like, and she went and took all these different things of the place, had the plate full, and she put a great big dollop of mustard. Now, nearly seemed to be half a jar of mustard onto a lot of this here. Now I'm thinking, that does not look too good. And then she took her spoon, and she stirred the whole lot together. And then she ate it. Now, I know one or two people in this church who do the same thing. But stirred the whole lot together and ate the whole thing and enjoyed it. When you present the meal, you have your soup maybe first, your salad, and then your main meal and your dessert. You get it in stages. You get it in logical order so it will grow by it. And we are to present the word of the Lord. I've heard messages and heard people preach him. And at the end of the day say, well, I agree with everything he said. But then you go home and say, what did he say? He can't remember it. So you have to have it logically presented in great plainness of speech. Paul, he said that he spoke with even rudeness of speech. So it was plain so that the people could understand. And so our responsibility is to feed the flock. But then let's move on to the next thing, and that is to consider the diversity of the food. Because God has given to us a tremendous diversity and a wonderful diet that cannot help but make us strong in the Lord. First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The little baby is born into the family. You don't give it a piece of steak to start off with. You give it bottles and bottles of milk, because milk is rich in fat, and it is able to make that child grow quickly and to develop very, very quickly. And so the first thing you give them is milk. And for the baby Christian, the first thing they need is the sincere milk of the word. You see, a little baby can't talk. A little baby can't walk. A little baby cries a lot. And sometimes you discover that baby Christians are like that. They can't talk very well to the Lord, can't walk very well, and sometimes they cry a lot. But our task is to feed them with the sincere milk of the word. And when I meet a young person or somebody just comes to the Lord, I tell them, read the milk of the word. Genesis is not a difficult book. It's easy to read. There's a lot of doctrine there, but it's mostly a historical record, and it's easy to read. Then go on to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Oh, there's tremendous doctrine and practice there, but at the same time, you have the history of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not hard to read. And the same with the book of Acts. And so you read the milk of the word. And then you develop from that to the strong meat. Because over in Hebrews chapter 5. And it says there in the chapter 5 and verse 14. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so the strong meat is for the more mature believer. And it's one interesting little look at a little child, and you see how that after they've had bottles of milk for some considerable time, then the mother will give them a little teensy piece of solid food to hold, and they will gnaw that with maybe one or two teeth, that's all they've got, And it's not too long and before they're in the place ordering a T-bone steak with you and you're impoverishing you by their orders, because they develop from the simple food to the more complex. And likewise, the believers, we need to move on and to grow from milk to meat and be able to take the strong meat. And mature believers are those who have already cut their teeth. And in, of course, you get steak. You can take milk and just drink it straight back down it goes. But you can't do it with steak. You've got to chew it. And the chewing suggests to me meditation. When you come to the Word of God, you need to meditate. That pastor who wrote that article has told him, but he would need to chew the Word of God a bit, because what he has is a doctrinal problem. He needs to chew it a little bit and meditate, because he's so inconsistent in his presentation of the point he's trying to make, which is, to me, a very serious error that he makes. So we have to move on to strong meat. And then the Bible tells us, too, that we have the sweet honey of Scripture. Now, I love honey, and I take honey every day. That's why I'm so sweet and so nice. I take honey every day. But I have members of my family who don't like honey at all, and who don't like the taste of honey. Maybe you're like that, but the Bible does tell us in Psalm 119, the portion that we sung together, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." And the Lord has given us, and you stop to think, we were stopped to buy a jar of honey up in a place there that has bees and so on. And you stop to think, you get this jar of golden honey, and you stop to think of the industry that is required by those bees just to give you a jar of honey. And then you stop to think of what the Lord had to do to give us the honey of the Word of the living God. So never let us despise it. You may despise the natural honey, but don't despise the honey of the Word of God. And what a wonderful illustration honey is. Because honey cannot be diluted. If you try to dilute it, it ferments and goes bad. Honey has to be kept pure. And for us, the Word of God is honey. And anybody who tries to dilute the Word of God seriously hinders the growth of the people under their ministry. We are to present, as Paul said, all the counsel. He says in this very chapter, the verse before, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And so the gospel of Jesus Christ must not be diluted, because there are men and women out there who need to be saved and they need to hear the message of the gospel. So you don't dilute it. There are those who come along and say, "Oh, you don't need to be born again today." And I know one particular minister who commanded another minister, "Don't let me ever hear you tell people to be born again." And my friend, that is heresy. Because Jesus said, ye must be born again. And we're not to dilute the Word of God that he has given. So honey cannot be diluted. It is pure. And it is a very pure substance. Bacteria cannot live in honey. Now that's a good thought. Because this very Psalm 119 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." And so we feed upon the sincere milk and the strong meat and the sweet honey. We grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Honey also is long-lasting. They found some in Egypt in an Egyptian tomb, 3,300 years old. And they can prove that simply by dating that's on the place where it was found. 3,300 years old. All congealed and hard. And they just took it, heated it up, and it was just as good as new. Because honey is a long-lasting substance, a pure substance, and the Bible tells us, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And so here's the very best feeding. You feed on the philosophies of this world and the intellectuals of this world, and you go away and you think you've been feeding the very stones of intellectualism. But you come to the Word of God and you'll find that God will give you something that will feed you for time and will last you for all eternity. The Bible also refers to itself as the finest of the wheat. Not just wheat, but the very finest of the wheat. And so when you come to the table that the Lord has furnished for us, my table thou hast furnished, you come to the table the Lord has furnished and has given to us a well-balanced diet of milk and meat and honey and the very finest of the wheat. And so we feed upon the bread of heaven sent down by the Lord. So you can't say you're bored of the food. You can't say fish and chips again. Children of Israel, some of them, complained, our soul loatheth this light food, that's the manna. Larry was reminding us of people who grumbled. They grumbled. God worked a miracle of stupendous proportions in the book of Exodus. You check out how much manna God gave them over 40 years for 1.5 or 2 million people, and it will astound you. And yet all they could say was, our soul loatheth this light food. God has given to us a banqueting table filled with the great necessities for our spiritual growth, and so it is there. The last thing I need to share with you, and that is the responsibility of the people. Because if it is the responsibility of the oversight, the elders, the ministers, to minister and to teach people and to feed them, and we have this very diet of milk and meat and honey and also of wheat, then obviously it is the inference that the people are to be fed. So they have to eat. Now what does that say? Well, it tells us first of all, don't miss a service. You see, the people this morning had a good breakfast. Now, I know there are some odd people who don't take breakfast at all. I'm not like to tell you, take a good breakfast and that's good for the rest of the day. If you don't like a breakfast, that's your problem, not my problem. But most people take a good breakfast and then around this time they begin to feel the pangs of hunger and they go for a lunch. And then the time it comes down at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock on the normal day, not so much on a Sunday, but on a normal day, they're ready for a serious meal. And then about 10 o'clock at night say, I don't really need to take any more, but I'd like some more. And so you go and into the fridge and run to the place and get the cereals out or whatever, and you have a little thing just to bide you over the night. Then you wonder why you can't sleep in the middle of the night because eating too much. We need to have our meals. We do have our meals every day. But it's amazing how Christians, they can cut out some of those meals. You see, I can understand in the natural sense that many of us are fighting the battle of the bulge. Now, there's some of you people are not doing that because you're just like, well, let's say what you're like, but you're in good shape, not too much fat on you. But there's others who are fighting a battle, and it's a continual battle of the bulge. But the wonderful thing is, see, you say, well, man, I just love those fish and chips. Man, they're good, but they're full of fat and so on. And look at that big juicy burger there, man. I could just get into that. But you have to say, no, not today. No fish and chips today. No fancy breakfast this morning. Just down to porridge and so on. So you got to look after your diet. At least according to all the stuff they tell you. But the wonderful thing is, friends, that there is no spiritual diet required at all. Because the Lord tells us that the righteous, they shall be fat and flourishing. Amen, that's great. Fat and flourishing. No need to read books to tell you how to lose weight. The Bible tells you, gain as much as you can in the spiritual sense. May the Lord make us fat and flourishing. And so God sends along food. And if the pastor and the minister has been before God and has prayed and sought the food, and God has sent a recipe and God has sent the food for your soul, how does God think when you're not there to receive it? Not there. So we are not to miss a service, but to be there. Because see, if you miss your meals, your physical meals, you're going to be weak physically. Like I know when I go out and in the morning I take my porridge, by lunchtime I'm getting peckish and I can't do too much until I have some more energy put in the form of food. Then you do some more work and then more food and more work and more food. So you got to do that because if you miss your meals, you're going to come very weak indeed. And if you miss the spiritual meals, then you become weak towards God. And the Bible tells us that the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. Now in the feeding of the Word of God, there must be first of all an appetite. You got somebody who's sick, and you come along and you bring them the food that is their very favourite food, and they look at it with a jaundiced look. Take it, I don't want it. Because they've no appetite, because they're not feeling well, they're weak and they're sickly. But the Bible tells us that God's people are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so there's nothing as good as having a good appetite and then getting a good meal. But how do you get an appetite? You get an appetite by sharpening it by work. You see, when you work, you have to, and you're expending energy, you have to take more food in order to meet that need. And likewise, when you're involved in the work of the Lord, you need also to have the energy supplying food that God has in His Word. And so, we are to sharpen our appetite by work. Come the day of prayer. Come to our visitation program and at least give some time to help us get out the lifeline, 10,000 of them, into this area. Work for the Lord. You might meet somebody, might talk to them and be scared, Lord, I'm afraid to talk to somebody, but somebody comes along your path, you have a chance to talk, you go home rejoicing. And if they've asked you a question you can't answer, I tell people, don't waffle. Tell them, I'll get the answer and go back home and study. And when you find the answer in the Word of God, then you are strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. So we have to have an appetite for the Word, and we've been praying the Lord will give in this area of Malvern an appetite to people who right now are being fed on the husks of heresy and the false doctrine. So it must be an appetite. And then there must be an appropriation. Because you can set a lovely meal down the table and it's nice sitting there, but you've got to eat it. You don't take it, it's no good. So you've got to take it. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And again in the book of Ezekiel, the Lord sent a messenger to Ezekiel telling him to eat the roll of the Word of God. And he says he ate it and it was a blessing to him. Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So he took the Word of God into him and then he was able to go and share it with others and take it to the house of Israel. And says, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And so we have to take the food, and we have to be strengthened by it. Take all the food. See, your little child in the house there, and we have some in our congregation that I know of, that the meal is set down, broccoli. I don't want any broccoli. And then somebody else says something else there. I don't like that. Somebody sets me down a plate of carrot and parsnip. Yeah. Some people like it. They can have it and have my share as well. But there's some foods that we perhaps do not like. But if we're wise and we talk to ourselves, the message is that you need a balanced diet. You need to have not just one thing, Like, I go into the Swiss Chalet, and this is not an ad for the Swiss. I was taking the Swiss first in 1963 in Yonge Street, and I think I've eaten a whole hen house full of chickens since that time. But I go in there, and the waitress comes, she knows us, and she sets the cup of coffee down and tells me exactly what I'm going to get, because I never vary what I get when I go to Swiss. It's always the same. It's what I got in 1963 down in Yonge Street, and I still order the same thing. Now, they have enlarged their menu tremendously, and there's all kinds of lovely things there to eat. I never take them. Just the one old thing. Same old thing. Someday I'm going to surprise her and order something else. But if I talk to myself, and have any sense, the balanced diet of all those other things be far better. And take those things. And so we have to take all the food the Lord has given to us, all the counsel of the word of the Lord, and to take the balanced diet that God has given. Too many in the world today are focusing on junk food. A lot of junk food, especially go to Christian bookstores, a lot of junk food there. We need to have the good, strong food of the word of the Lord. And the Bible tells us all scripture is profitable. That includes the parsnips and the carrots. Includes the broccoli. All scripture is profitable for us. And is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Profitable for doctrine. Doctrine to build up spiritual bone and muscle in the child of God. Profitable for reproof. In the natural sense, we have to take medicine sometime because you got some ailment. So you got to take your medicine. And sometimes the Lord gives us medicine. We have to take the medicine. And sometimes we don't like the medicine. We've got to take it because the Lord helps us and we grow by the medicine that He gives to us. And sometimes medicine doesn't taste too good. But at the same time, it's going to do us good. And so it is profitable for reproof. Profitable for correction. If in your body you have some sort of chemical shortage, the doctor will prescribe something to positively help you so that your body will no longer be deficient in that particular vitamin, whatever it may be. The Word of God is a correcting thing to us. It is positive help that we may grow in our Christian lives in all the various ways we have to grow in. And He knows what we need. And He prescribes it. We are to take it. And then instruction. Profitable for instruction. Dealing with overall spiritual health. If you read the books, and there's a lot on the night today, read the books, they tell you how to eat healthy in the natural sense. There are some things that are delicious. Häagen-Dazs ice cream. Man alive. You won't get any better or any more expensive. But that has twice the fat content of anything else. You don't take it. Except maybe you pamper yourself occasionally in that. You read the books and they tell you how to grow physically and have a healthy lifestyle by healthy eating. Likewise, the Word of God is an instruction to us to give us an overall spiritual glow and an overall spiritual health that we may be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So Paul said to these people, take heed therefore unto yourselves. We got to feed as well as them. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, depending what their needs may be, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers or bishops or elders to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. And may the Lord help us here in this church to cause our people to advance and to grow in the grace of the Lord and to be well fed with the Word of God every time they come into the house of the Lord. May God help us and may you grow in the grace of the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the illustration to the Word of God. And we ask Your Father, each one of us may have a good spiritual appetite and may feed day and daily upon the very finest of the wheat and the honey of Scripture and the milk of the Word and the strong meat of the Gospel. O God, we pray every one of us will be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And Lord, we pray that we will not just sit and do nothing, but rather we will take the energy given to us by the Lord and His Word and we'll translate it into action. And Father, help us, we pray, to share with others who need to hear this food, that they would come to Christ, that they would be born again, that they too, as babes in Christ, would begin to grow in the Lord. Oh, God, answer prayer and bless us now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.